Welcome to the Candle Shore Podcast. This is show number 31. Well, it's been a while since I've done a show, and with all the things going on here in the U.S., I decided to weigh in like all the other pundits, although I'm not exactly a pundit, but I do have a couple of opinions about the President-elect Barack Obama and his election. So I'll get right into it. First, let me say this. As a black man, I want to let you know that if I hear one more television personality or politician refer to black people as African Americans, I'm going to go insane. I don't know what it is about it, but that is the term of the decade. Black, African American. You hear whites, Hispanics, and African Americans. You know, when I was a little boy in Kentucky, I remember being referred to as coloreds. I kind of like that one, actually. And then, coloreds was the thing. And then I think before I was born, we were referred to as Negroes. I never liked that one. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know. I think I'm more of a single syllable kind of guy. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, but I do know this. I know that to me, referring to, black people, or they have to say descendants of slaves in the United States, as African Americans is, even though it's certainly where we come from, it's the same to me as, well, I don't hear people saying, they say white people. They don't say, you could say, well, Anglo-Americans or European-Americans or something, Anglo-Saxon-Americans, I don't know. But it's always white or Chinese or Asian, right? They get, sometimes you get Mexican-American, but that's not even the term these days. These days it's all about whites and African-Americans. And even, especially when black people do it, it's just, I don't know. So anyway, what's my point? My point is, if you ever talk to me, please just call me a black man. Do not call me an African-American, okay? I'm not an African. I wouldn't last 13 seconds in Africa if I went over to Africa and didn't know where I was going. To me, it sounds like I came from there. I lived in Africa. I was raised in Africa, and I immigrated to the United States. That might be an African-American, but a guy who's born here as a descendant of slaves, because, Taylor is definitely a slave name. That's my slave name. I don't know what my real name was. Somebody said, a buddy of mine, Ernie, said to me that he heard on television that the one thing that, initially when Barack was running for the presidency, he got a lot of resistance from, I'm going to say black folks, okay, black people. And somebody distilled it down into the following. They said, Barack knows exactly where he comes from. He knows his real name. He knows where he comes from. He can trace his family history all the way back. And that is unique with regards to the experience of most black people in the United States. I guarantee you, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's name was not Taylor. Okay? It might have been Smith, but it wasn't Taylor. So it is interesting because we don't know our history as African Americans in this country. As a black man, we don't know where we come from beyond a certain point, and everything kind of gets lost in the genetic sea of life and all that sort of thing. I don't know if that made any sense. Genetic sea of what? But anyway, the point is, I do think that makes a distinction, because he does know his lineage. He does know where he comes from. And I think that's kind of neat. I think that would be a nice gift to have. I'm sure a lot of people don't know where they come from, because a lot of us are mutts, But nevertheless, I just don't want to be called African American or referred to as African American. Just call me Mark Taylor, Kentucky boy, or black man. You can call me a colored. No, I'm kidding. Don't call me colored. I kind of like it though, but. You can refer to me as that one. Or what was it that what did McCain say to in that interview? This one pointed to it was funny. You can refer to me as this one or that one or something or colored. Okay, so there you go. That's my take on that. Now moving on. Like everyone in the free world, I really do want to congratulate President-elect Barack Obama. I got to be honest with you. I never thought I'd live to see the day when a black man, not an African American, when a black man would be elected president of the United States, honestly. And I'll tell you something else too. I was wrong about it. I used to talking to people And I'd tell them, there's no way he's going to win this thing. I honestly thought Hillary would get the nomination because she had the machine. You know, she had her husband and all the money, or at that time, the money and the clout. And again, this isn't a political discussion, so I'm not going to tell you, you know, where I feel about that, whether he should be, shouldn't be, she should be, she shouldn't be. But I never thought, and even up until the Monday before the election, which was, I guess, the third, if you had asked me, you say, Mark, okay, who do you think is going to win? I would have told you, honestly, I would have thought McCain was going to win it because I thought there was some secret. I'll be honest with you. I thought the man, quote, the man, I guess that means the white man, but I mean, it could be anybody in the system. I honestly didn't think that they would. I don't know. I guess, here's the way I see it. Deep down inside me, I don't know where this comes from. I figure that there's maybe six guys who run the entire world, right? I'm serious. I really do. Six guys. They sit around somewhere. They meet once, three times a month or something. And they're playing poker or something, or I don't know, maybe bunco or something. And they just sit around making these decisions and it just trickles down to the rest of us. Now, I know that's not true. At least I hope it's not true. But somehow I kind of think it is true. No, it's not true, but I got this double think. You know, I feel like that there's somehow there's just this system somewhere, and these guys say, okay, are we going to let this guy win? Are we going to let this woman win? And they make this decision. It just comes down, and that's it. So I guess, you know, in some way, I guess I believe that. But clearly, I was wrong. I've never been happier to be wrong. But anyway. Yeah, it was really good that he won, but I didn't bank on him even, and I remember telling people even on Tuesday as I watched the election returns, watch, something's going to happen, right? Either Florida or Ohio or someplace, something's going to happen, because McCain to me seemed a little bit too happy, like he knew something, you know, like he had talked to those big boys up top somewhere, and if it, don't worry about it, John, it's going to be okay. We'll take care of it. But no, it didn't happen that way. So I was wrong, and that's great. People talk about this being a historical moment in time, and it is. It really is. Does it strike me personally like a historical moment in time? Not really, because I see all these people on television and on the radio interviews and in a newspaper, and they're talking about, well, as an African American, I blah 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 blah. That's great. But if an African American, as a black man, as a colored, on a regular basis, you know, I have to wait and see what happens once he gets in the office, because people thinking that just because he is quote unquote African American, that somehow means he's going to be more likely to do something or not to do something. I don't know. It seemed a bit unfair. It's kind of like, in a weird way, it's like reverse racism. You know, assuming that a white person is going to dislike a black person for whatever reason, it's just equally as distasteful to think that a black person is going to like or do something for another black person than he would a white person. If that makes any sense, which I'm sure it doesn't, but then it might. So I'm not sure. Right? But I digress. So let me continue on my little rant here. It's one thing to win an election. It's quite another to actually make it into the Oval Office. So, I don't know. I guess I'm a bit of a pessimist in some way. I'm not exactly sure, but I know he's going to have a whole lot of security and everything. And I did notice that, they had that, what was it? I think they said 11-foot plexiglass between on his acceptance speech. You know, I watched it on television, and he walked out, and he looked so comfortable, Barack Obama. Looked so comfortable and at ease. And I'm thinking, you got a million people or 250,000 people there, and you're going to walk out like, you know, I would have been walking out in I don't know, some kind of riot gear or something. Something I would have done, something. But, and then, I didn't realize they had that glass there. And, of course, it came to light later that they had bulletproof glass around the entire, you know, stage or... And there's 11 foot. No wonder he seems so. He's in a fishbowl, like a Pope mobile, like a Pope stage, you know. So that makes sense. He's definitely aware of the risk that he takes. And I hope, you know, everything works out okay as far as his safety and his family's safety concerned. But as a black person, Am I, you know, I think it's great that he did it, but it's no more, to me, it's nothing more than an academic point right now. And maybe that's, I've never lived through what we refer to as a historical moment. I know that back when the Berlin Wall came down, what did it do for me? I mean, okay, I lived through it. You know, I was there. Or was it the Challenger space shuttle or one of the space shuttles? I remember watching it live on television and it exploded. And I remember being really, really sad. But it didn't change the course of my life, you know, and I don't want to seem callous about these things. So, you know, it's great that everybody's saying they're touched and taking note of the moment, but I just have to wait and see. You know, I just have to wait and see before I'm actually moved. So that's my take on that. Now, moving on. I know I wanted to complete a thought there, but somehow it just didn't happen. I don't know. I don't know. You know, one thing I did notice about President-elect Obama is that during his acceptance speech, when he won the presidency, within the first 12 minutes, he was already starting to make, and I'm just going to say this, excuses as to why he may not be able to keep all his promises. I mean, he's a politician. They all make promises. They'll promise you anything if you get them into the office. But it just cracked me up that most politicians will wait at least until after they take office before they start backing out of stuff. And he was like, well, you know, I may not be able to get it done this time. I may not be able to do it in one term. And I'm thinking, geez, it just struck me as odd. People make a lot of promises. He may be good looking, although frankly, I don't think he's my type. He may be eloquent when he speaks. But in the end, he's a politician. And he made a lot of promises. And I hope he can keep the promises, at least one of them. If he can keep at least one or two of them in the next 4 years, I'll be happy. But anyway, what I was going to talk about in this segment is this. After he won, they had, obviously, you know, blacks were in that moment. They were showing all these black people on television that were down in South Central L.A. Excuse me, South L.A. They don't call it South Central anymore. But it's still South Central. And they were just jumping up and down in the streets and crying and wailing and just, oh, thank you, oh, my God. And this one woman, I saw this in several places, but this one woman said, they asked her how she felt, and she said, you know, I feel so good about him getting elected because, now get this, now I don't have to worry about paying my mortgage. Now think about that for a minute. Here's a black woman in South Central who clearly is behind or having difficulty on her, you know, meeting her mortgage, like a lot of people are, and she believes that because a quote-unquote, colored, made it into the White House, that all of a sudden, this is going to help her personal finances directly, because apparently she feels that, I guess having him in the office means she doesn't have to worry about her rent, like he's going to give black people a break. I don't know. I'm not trying to draw a simple conclusion, but it just seemed, there were a lot of statements like that from people that they interviewed. Like they thought the change was going to be immediate. I don't know. I don't understand that. I mean, maybe I missed something. But if black people believe that because we have a African-American in the White House, that that's going to trickle directly down to, I'm going to say us, like all of a sudden, okay, he's going to make some kind of executive order saying, okay, you know, free Mandela. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they expect, but I think the expectation that black people have of him, from what I can see, and this is just my opinion, I'm not, you know, but I hope it seems a bit unrealistic, because ultimately, he has to work within a framework of government that's been around for a really long time. And it really doesn't matter what his skin color and ethnicity is. He's still got to work within that framework. Now, will he be able to make a lot of changes? God, I hope so. But we've had a lot of people come into the White House and local governments that promised change and really meant it. I really believe some people really do mean it. But you have to make a lot of enemies when you are going to make those kind of big changes. And I don't know if he wants to make enemies. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it's one thing to be jumping for joy and happy because we have a minority in the White House, It's another thing to think that you're going to see the result of that directly in your own pocketbook, you know, like 3 days after he takes office. So we have to be careful about that. We have to just be realistic and understand that he is a will soon be a president who happens to be, you know, I'm going to say black. That's all it really means to me is that. But he's still a politician. He still has people to answer to, although not many. But he does have people to answer to. And I think this love affair with him is short-lived if he doesn't keep up with a lot of his promises or keep a lot of his promises. And I worry that the same people who think he's wonderful today, what's going to happen if he starts backing out and doesn't keep his word? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I guess I just worry about the fact that I hope the world's expectations of Mr. Obama are just reasonable. You know, the world is not going to change because he's taken office. Unless he's willing to do things that in my lifetime I've never seen a president willing to do, which is, and I really mean this, and in terms of just making sweeping changes and taking the power to its fullest extent and just ignoring a lot of other people. I don't know if anybody's going to do that. The president has an enormous amount of power, but they very rarely do you see them use it. I do know this, and this has been my experience as a black man, as a colored. Maybe I ought to change this podcast to Mark on Coloreds as opposed to Mark on Barack. I don't know. But anyway, the expectations, if how can I say this? People are going to judge him much more harshly than they would the typical past and present presidents, because people's expectations of him are just enormous. If he doesn't do something, it's like this. I'm rambling and I don't mean to. Let me try this way. And I'm going to make this generalization, and I know people out there are going to say, wait a minute, but just from my perspective, growing up in Kentucky, this is what I experienced, okay? A white guy walks into the store, a jewelry store, any store, okay? This happened to me once. Walks into a store and looks around. People may not think much of it. They keep an eye on it maybe, but still, it's not the same. Now let me walk into a store. I was a black man, and I guarantee you the difference that I've witnessed and seen is just enormous. One time I was standing at the bus stop, at the Greyhound bus stop. I was heading back to California. And I was wearing shorts and a tank top. I had a little bag, you know, not a big, huge suitcase. I used to travel light in those days. I didn't have to carry my D-pants with me then, you know. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Anyway. And this policeman walked up and said, "What's your name, boy?" And then there were other people standing around me, white people. I was the only black person. And I said, "My name is, you know, Mark Taylor." And he said, "Let me see some ID." And I was the only person this white cop asked that question to. Now, everybody else that was standing had jeans and, you know, they had clothes on. I mean, for me, you could see that I had nothing to hide. I mean, there was no pockets in the shorts, the tank top. You know, it's not like he had to frisk me to see if I was carrying a weapon. So what I'm saying is people do judge, at least where I come from, black people differently. Rightly or wrongly is not for me to say. I personally think it's disgusting. But I just wonder, it'll be interesting to see that all what's going to happen to Barack if he starts to slip and can't live up to the expectations that I think are just unreasonable for any one man. Black, white, green, yellow, purple, something. So you get the idea. You know, when it's all said and done, I'm going to wrap this up. When it's all said and done, we do have a new era has taken place, or will start either whenever he takes office. And I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for the people to come after him. I do think it's going to inspire a lot of people, minorities, to maybe shoot for offices and positions they normally would not have. I think that's kind of neat. And I hope I'm around to see it. One last thing. Last night they were on the television news. They showed this. He gets his hair cut, I guess, at some barbershop in Chicago. And since people found out about this barbershop, the barber apparently is getting tons of business just because everybody wants to look like Barack. I just don't get that. What if Barack were the put on a white glove, you know, like somebody else in our past. Was everybody going to start wearing white gloves? I mean, people, get your own identity. It just cracks me up. I don't know if you saw this. You probably didn't, but maybe you did. But then you probably didn't. But then maybe you did. And that is, so they had these guys. It's like when you see a colored Elvis Presley impersonators or an Asian Elvis Presley. It's like, get a life, okay? I mean, there's one identity per one person. Make your own identity, okay? And if you want to impress me, you can rack up some of Barack's money. Now, if you can get, say, you got to making the kind of money he makes, I'll be impressed. You want to impress, if you want to emulate, is that what it is? Emulate somebody? To me, emulate the grace, the eloquence, their financial stability, their compassion. But imitating or emulating or simulating the way they look, you know? So, that's it. And for all you dark brothers out there, I think Michael Jackson's got some extra cream or something so you can lighten up your skin to get like a high yellow, just like Barack. Okay, there you go. That's my take on, that is Mark on Barack. I'm so glad you took the time to listen today. And I know it's a little bit different than what I usually do, but I don't know. I just want to get off my chest. And I've missed talking to you. And I hope you've missed hearing from me. So I'm going to try and do more of these in the future. This is Mark Taylor. This show will be on the Candleshore blog. For all things Candleshore, you can go to www.candleshore.com or you can go to the blog, which is I'm trying to update as often as possible, which is www.candleshoreblog.com, or you can just put in candleshoreblog.com, okay? candleshoreblog.com. You know, the easiest way to subscribe to a podcast, at least for Candleshore, is because I now have two RSS feeds with FeedBurner. Okay, so they both start out with feeds, F-E-E-D-S, dot feed. burner.com. Okay, so either one. So F-E-E-D-S period or dot, whatever. And then FEEDBURNER.com/. Now, here's where the differences come in. If you want to go to just the general RSS feed, which will give you all the latest news articles, and including shows, but not just shows alone, you just put in /, and then put the word Candleshore, C-A-N-D-L-E-S-H-O-R-E. However, if you want to subscribe to the podcast feed, and this means it'll only, this is what you would put into your podcast aggregator, Juice, iTunes, or something for your mobile phone, like Newsbreak, you can just do Candleshore Podcast with an S at the end. So, I'm going to give it to you straight from, I'm going to give you the URL again for the podcast, to subscribe to the podcast, Candleshore Blog Podcast, or Candleshore Podcast. Okay, so you're going to go to feeds.feedburner.com/ Candleshore, and this is all one word, podcast. That's CandleshorePodcasts. Okay, and that'll let you get subscribed to just so you can get an update on when all the audio shows come out. My email address, at least the one I'm giving out today, is musicman@candleshore.com. Musicman, all one word, @candleshore.com. Thank you for listening. What do I usually say at the end of the show? It's been so long that I've done the show, I can't remember. I should have listened to it, huh? I think I always say, remember to make a joyful noise? Remember to make a joyful noise. I think that's what I said. Yeah, remember to make a joyful noise. And I'll see you back here soon, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.